Danny, we could talk about a lot today. We could talk about Pep Biel, the magician of Mecklenburg. We could talk about Edon Toklamadi. Where in the world is Edon Toklamadi? But what we have to do on today's show is hear from the captain first and give props to the fans for helping Charlotte get this 2-1 victory over Nashville.
We were awful today again, but the fans, that section behind the goal, that gets you through games, and it's not us that won the game today. I think it was them that won the game today. So we thank them for that. We've got a great connection with our supporters and the whole city, and we need more of that, and hopefully they'll push us to win a few trophies.
He's talking about you, Danny. He's talking about Danny Brams. I'm John Hayes. Welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. It's a 2-1 win, like we mentioned. And Danny Brams, let's give it up for the fans. Especially you, Brett, and Hannah, for hanging out in the supporter section and willing this team to victory on Saturday against Nashville. How's it feel, Danny, for the captain to give you props like that?
Feels amazing, Johnny. And I think I believe I said something similar to you last night when we were watching Final Four men's basketball. And I was like, I had not heard that quote yet. And I was like, we did it, man. Fans pushed us to victory. So to hear it coming from the captain as well, Westwood knows what's up. It's a beautiful thing. Johnny, we had a great day on Saturday. It was an early kickoff. We talked about how much we were looking forward to it. We talked about going big. And I think I went pretty big. I was going strong at Hot Fly and the Surefire Chicken Sandwich was really nice as well. Turned into just a great day overall. The sun was shining. The weather was sweet. Now we're sitting here the day after. This was such a great win, Johnny. We had to record today on Sunday. We couldn't wait till our traditional Tuesday time. We had to record today. So I'm drinking my Summit coffee, and I'm just to celebrate a little bit here. Let's see if the YouTube algorithm likes this. We're going to pour a little bourbon in the coffee.
Wow. What
Jefferson's,
fantastic.
Jefferson's small batch does the trick.
What a great way to do it, Danny. That's a perfect way to celebrate a W.
Let's break down this victory, man. There's so much to talk about. Like you said, we can talk about how the lineup was wrong at the start. We can talk about how Zaha was amazing and needs the ball more. We can talk about the resilience that they showed. We can talk about how great Pep Biel has been, the mission of Mecklenburg, like you said. And I think you do want to get to that. But really, this win creates a question in many people's minds, because we got to start to wonder, is Edon Toklamadi, should he be starting over Patrick Ojemong? He got the smash and grab to steal the 3 points today or this weekend.
Edon Toklamadi, he's a super sub. He comes off the bench. He gets the job done. Whether he ends up starting at striker or not, I think we'll see that play out in the next couple months. I wouldn't take Patrick Ojemong's starting spot away just yet. But we're going to ask the question. I mean, how does Edon Toklamadi get into this lineup more often? You're seeing the impact he has on the matches. Who knows what Dean Smith is going to do tactically? And I think he's going to go into the lab this week. He's got to figure it out. Heading up north of the border against Montreal this weekend, the worst team in the East. He's got to get into that lab and figure out how to get 3 points on the road. And I think Edon Toklamadi is going to be a big part of that, Danny. But I really want to watch the goal. I want to watch the goal. Can we watch the goal?
Let's watch it. Let's watch it over and over and over again. It's been way too long since we saw this. Look at this. The great control. Now, if you were watching this on TV, we were at the stadium, but, it's just so nice. It's just so nice. But let me go back to the start, because if you're on the broadcast here, we're listening. We're watching the goal silently and just so we can give our commentary. But on the broadcast commentary right there, Lloyd Sam, the TV commentator, he goes, ooh. He went, ooh, because Pep sort of used that little side foot to get himself into space, and then he uses the space so well with that over-the-top pass to find Toklamadi in perfect stride.
I made that same noise as well when Pep was on the ball there. You could tell he was making things happen in the midfield, creating that space. And I think my favorite part of the assist is there was definitely a little bit of check on it. Look, he gets under the ball here, and there's some backspin, and watch it check. It checks beautifully for Edon Toklamadi there. And just a smart first touch by the Israeli international. Edon Toklamadi is someone that plays for and has played for his nation. He didn't get the call up last time around. Should he get the call up the next time around?
Right.
He was
playing with their under-21s like last year during the last offseason. Now he should probably be on the senior side.
It's that right-footed touch that gets him some space as well, and he's able to finish things off. And there's the crowd. That's what Westy's talking about. It was a 90th-minute goal for the win. You don't get those very often. And I think, Danny, it's only the fifth time in club history that Charlotte FC went behind and came back to get all 3 points.
So yeah, this doesn't happen that often.
This is a true rarity, and you can just tell that at the end of the match here, the players, the fans really felt like this 3 points, looking ahead at what's coming for this club. We talked about getting 12 out of 12, and that goal in the 90th minute got it done, Danny.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting on this freeze frame here full screen for a moment just because you see what it means. Like, you look at that shot right there, and you know that that's what Ashley Westwood is talking about when talking about, you know, the fans winning it for the players. And, it was just so sick. I mean, it was such a good feeling to be in the stadium for something like that and to see it all the way through and to be rewarded in the end. It's funny because I was like at the 60th minute mark, it was horrible, right? The first hour of the match was kind of torturous and how lame it was. And I turned to the crew with me, you know, in the supporter section, and I said, man, if we could somehow turn this thing around and win 2-1, it would just be the sickest thing ever. And it actually happened. I couldn't believe I actually manifested it.
Dean Smith and Ashley Westwood, Danny, they had thoughts about Edan Toklamati post-match as well. I definitely want to hear from them because at this point, you know, everybody's going to be asking questions about Edan, and I want to hear what the captain and the manager thought after this.
Sure. And you can – I'll play it right now. You can, as you can probably guess, they couldn't avoid the question of what this might mean for Patrick Ojemong.
He's been excellent. I mean, he started his game. He was fantastic. Pat come back, and I think rightly so. Pat's been phenomenal for us. But now Pat needs to get back to what he was doing, and because now he's got a fight in his hands. But that's what makes you better as players. Now we're all competing for the starting spot, and it makes the manager's decision harder next week.
As I said, he's competing with Patrick. Patrick didn't get any joy, any chances, and he's managed to finish his first goal in the MLS. So we're all really pleased for him, and that'll give him and the team a big boost.
I just want to start this conversation by saying this is a very good problem to have, Danny. Mm-hmm. This is not a bad thing for the club. This is a very, very good thing that both Patrick Ojemong and Edan Toklamati are showing flashes and competing for that number 9 position. Mm-hmm. And it's only made this season more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, sort of a position battle at center back, left back with the whole Ream, Privet, Dumbia thing. And it's like, yeah, that's fine. But when you get to debate like, oh, who should be striker for this club? Who should be up top, tip of the spear, leading the attack? That gets the juices flowing a little bit more. And that, you know, that kind of spikes my coffee a little bit harder. So I love the idea of talking about, strikers battling each other to be better. And as Ashley Westwood said, as you said earlier in the show, like, Patrick, this game yesterday doesn't displace Patrick Ojemong right away. I mean, Ojemong scored in the previous time he was on the pitch for Charlotte FC, right? So it just raises the question, and it's nice to be able to get goals from multiple sources and know that you can sub someone in with 15 minutes left to play and they can go score a winner for you in the 90th minute. So it's a good problem to have. Like you said, Dino has said that, and Dino likes to get a little gleam in his eye sometimes when he talks about. He was asked about, you know, position battles at the pre-match press conference, and he talked about, you know, oh, I watched Aston Villa, and they brought in Ollie Watkins off the bench, you know, and maybe you've heard of him, you know. So it's like little stuff like that I think Dino's well-equipped to handle.
Whether it's Patrick or Edan Toklamati coming off the bench in that super sub role, either way, it's a great situation for Dean Smith to be able to pull those strings and wait until the final third of the game, the final 20 minutes of the match, to inject a little bit of offense. And we're going to get to that, Dino, in his starting 11. Did he get it wrong? Andrew Privet, he made a huge impact on this match. But first, we talked about the pep pass. And I think the question needs to be asked, at least a two-parter, Danny. This is a two-part question for you I'm going to hit you with.
Love a two-parter.
I'm a changed man, and I'm feeling the two-parters this year. I really am. So the TIFOs, get the two-parters coming, TIFOs. I really appreciate you. Our tremendous friends of the show. Always good to see people out and about. We saw some folks yesterday as we were hanging at Hot Fly before the match. But here's the two-part question, right? Has Pep unlocked something special in this team? Like, what is he unlocking, number one? And why is he the guy that's doing it? What skill set does he have? And number two, should Dean play him wide or central? Because he started on the wing yesterday, that right wing. And I like when Pep plays centrally, Danny. What do you make of those two questions?
I think we definitely want to see Pep playing centrally. Pep himself said that he prefers playing centrally. I'll cue that soundbite up as well. But I think he's just his creativity flows better from the middle. Dean went into a lot of extended. I'm not going to play the full 2 minute rip I made of all Dean's comments from the press conference. His deeper thoughts on what the 11 was, why they set things up the way they did. And you can go to our Blue Sky, our Twitter. I post those clips are posted on social media, elsewhere on the YouTube. But what I will bring up is that Dean said he wanted Pep to press wide. He thought that the team could they could sort of do a pincher movement in pressure and attack. And so he wanted Pep's ability to press wide. He felt that was better than Abada's, and he wanted Deonny in there for a little bit more defensive stalwart presence. And he thought they could play from the center backs out and then back in. It wasn't working. We'll get into more of that in a moment. But there was a method to the madness. For Pep, for his part, here's a quick soundbite from him on what he has to say about it all.
Yes, I feel more comfortable in the middle, but I'm here for what asked the coach. If at that time want me there, I will play there.
Wherever the coach wants me, that's where I'll go. And he cracked a little smile on that. So
yeah, he did. I appreciate him being honest. He answered the question honestly. I would prefer to be in the middle. But, hey, if the coach wants me to play wide, I'll do that. So a masterclass in what to say post-match in this situation for sure, especially knowing that he just pulled off a great assist. If my memory is right, I need to look at the statistics in MLS. He might be the leading assist man in MLS right now.
I saw some tweets about that, and I believe he's leading in goals. I think he's tied for first in, goals plus assists and leading in assists. I believe that's right. And it comes from stuff like this, right? This is a clip that was put together, I think by, I don't know exactly who edited it, but Matt Doyle posted it. He shouted out a guy named Ben Wright for discovering it. And this is what we call the Pep pass. This is now the Pep pass. The Pep pass over the top that earned the red card versus Miami when he freed Zaha. This Pep pass here to Bronico for the third goal against San Jose. It's just, this is the pass he does. This is not something that we should feel is an outlier anymore. This is something we can expect Pep to be doing any game, and he can do it from the wing. He can make this pass from the wing or from central, but I think it's set up better to do it centrally. And then here's the one versus Nashville. Again, he starts on the wing, he moves central, and then he finds all kinds of space and just makes it happen. So over the top to Zaha, over the top to Bronico, over the top for Toklamati, earning red cards, goals. This is Pep Biel. This is a guy that the fact that we brought him in as a lone DP last year and then we're somehow able to negotiate him to come back to this squad on a cheaper contract is absolutely insane. And we love to see it. But it's almost a signature starting wide, moving in, sending it over the top. You saw it right there. You see it right here. Same thing. Start wide, go in.
Yeah, absolutely. This is right, Danny. I mean, we've gone through them, and that's exactly what this pass is. And for the record, yes, he is leading the MLS in assists. I know I didn't make that up. He's got 5 assists. He's leading MLS, tied with Luis Suarez.
Chompers.
So it's really impressive to see what Pep Biel is doing. We're going to continue to see tactically what happens. Whether he plays wide or central. And in that same spirit, let's discuss Dean Smith's tactics. Before kickoff, when you were at Hotfly, you said Dino got it wrong. Did you feel like the squad proved you right? Do you think the Deonny sub and at halftime and the Vargas inclusion in the second half, do you think that you were right and Dino was wrong?
I mean, I think... if you put it like that, Johnny, you're kind of setting me up, but Dino knows his business for sure. I'm not the guy who's really qualified to tell Dino he got it wrong, but I do think I was saying when the 11 came out, I was like, I don't like this starting 11. It's too defensive. It's paying too much respect to the opponent, Nashville. And sure, Nashville has some guys who can hurt you, and Hany Mukhtar did score a goal against us and has done so in the past, but I just felt like, why back down? Why show deference to them when you're at home? You should go out and play your style. You don't need to insert Deonny as a third midfielder. Let's just keep Pep there. But, after I listened to Dean go into, again, you can find it on the social media pages of ours, that sort of an extended rip of why he did what he did. And he said, hey, he said, I don't think I got it wrong, because if I thought I had gotten it wrong, I would have done something different. You know, like I can't, you know, he's like, I put the best 11 out there that I thought was the best for this matchup. You know, like, don't ask me to say I got it wrong. But he also noticed, you know, credit to Dino for realizing quickly that it wasn't working, that what they wanted to do wasn't working. The pressing from the outside in was not working. He mentioned not being able to get onto their sixes long enough or quickly enough. And that's why Nashville was able to sort of, you know, dominate in possession a lot during the first half. The numbers came a lot more even in the second half. Here's Dean a little bit. I will play one shorter Dean soundbite on why he put Ream in over Privet at the second center back. He wanted the left footer there, and he wanted to set up a tactic where he said, we wanted to play through our twos and fours. And eventually I realized we needed to just play through our three.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, we were building with a two and four today. So I wanted a left footer as the left-sided centre-back so we could get it out quickly to our full-back. You know, in hindsight, we probably got it wrong and should have built with a three instead. You know, but that's on me. But I've no regrets in terms of the decision-making. You know, Privs is unlucky, but Privs got himself sent off to put himself into that position. You know, so that's part of football and, you know, my decisions that I have to make.
It's very, very easy not to regret a decision when you've got a comeback win in the 90th minute. So, yes, he doesn't regret it. Would he have regretted it if it finished 1-1 or if it finished 1-0 Nashville? I think so. But luckily, the right changes were made in the second half, and this team got it done. Thanks large in part, like Ashley Westwood said, to the fan base, to the energy that was in the building. It was palpable yesterday. It was a summer April afternoon.
Very summery April.
It was hot. And here are those player ratings. Fantastic job building the graphics here, Danny. So I'm going to let you go through it since you built this.
Well, you see, what you notice first off is that I believe it's the most subs that they've ever put into the first time Dean's used, you know, every sub available to him. Yuri, kind of just a time-wasting sub at the end. But he did, you know, was able to give Wilf that curtain call. And there was also 11 minutes stoppage time due to the Walker Zimmerman injury. So that's why, you know, a lot of those Abada and Tavares subs that both say 90 were not did not happen at the same time. But, you know, not the best game for Doumbia, but that's all right. He's still figuring out his way and people are getting used to him a little bit more. Not the best game for Brant Bronico. In the first half, the couple of times that I think Diani's highly rated because he got well into attacking positions. But the problem is, like, Zaha would do these layoff balls in the first half that, like, would end up at Diani's feet. And Diani sort of then is out wide, parallel to the box with a great chance to cross in. But that's not, you know, crossing balls in is not really Diani's game. Like, that's where we would have wanted Pep. And that's where a more, you know, traditional Dean Smith 11 would have had Pep in that spot. And I think that's sort of what Dean realized and why he started making changes. Zaha needed a lot more touches. At one point, Zaha was only getting one touch every 2 minutes, and that's like just way nowhere near good enough. This game could have felt a lot differently if it ends 1-0 Nashville, because you have the Kerwin Vargas disallowed goal for dicey reasons, and you have Zaha really not being brought into the game by his teammates. But he was doing good things. Whenever Zaha did get the ball, he was dancing, he was twinkle-toesing around guys, spin-moving, making things happen. And Zaha is not a selfish player either. You would expect a guy maybe who with his pedigree to come in and be like, and he's not getting the ball very much. It's like whenever he gets the ball, he just decides to ball hog it and go nuts because it's like he's not getting it enough. But actually, I didn't find that to be the case at all. As I was watching him, he seemed very willing to work 1-2s with teammates, and he was trying to spring teammates even in his limited touches in the first half. But, you know, Polina, another great performance, had some big saves on some shots that definitely troubled him. Couldn't really do much about the goal, but it's that halftime sub bringing Vargas in, changing the shape, changing the tactics. That, you know, shout out to Dean for not being too slow. Like, you could see, like, you know, how many times, John, have you and I on the show talked about managers for this club that don't make subs quickly enough? And then everything changed in the 76th minute when Toklamani came in, but also Andrew Privet came in. Johnny, I know you loved the way the tactics shifted there once Privet came in to replace Doumbia. flipped-flopped with Ream, and it just gets back into more traditional what we've seen from Charlotte this year and good things.
Three things, or three people stuck out for me on that graphic, but I'll call it a fourth because there's a storyline here. I want to get your take on
Adil Simalanda.
Adil Simalanda, Danny, a 7.0 from Adil Simalanda.
Woo, he's back, baby.
He's back. Christian Kolina, Pep Biao, and Wilfred Zaha. Those are the ratings we need from three of our best players. That's how you mm-hmm. win. That's how you win matches. That's you have a 7.7 player coming off the bench. That's how you win matches, when your best players play well. So just wanted to make sure we called that out. And that's what we can hopefully expect from this team moving forward. I think Charlotte FC is a pretty easy nut to crack when it comes to whether this team is going to actually achieve something this season. When Charlotte FC's best players are playing well, this team is very, very difficult to beat. And we'll continue to watch that moving forward. When Zaha and Pep Biao don't show up, this team lacks, I think, a little bit moving forward for sure. And when Christian Kolina doesn't show up, it's a tough situation. There was a lot of shots. Nashville had a ton of shots.
They did. They did have a ton of shots. Goal. And I'll bring up the goal just for completeness sake, Hany Mukhtar.
It's a really nice move. It's a nice move. It was a nice move here, Danny. It was a build-up goal. It was one of those goals that happened because of the build-up. And yep. Kolina gets a hand to it there, and Mukhtar finishes it.
Yeah, and it's just – this is what we're talking about. When they said, the tactics weren't working and they weren't quickly enough to get to the sixes, this is a move that starts from Nashville's sixth spot, and then everyone's then just becomes like unstoppable wave, sort of a tsunami rolling down the pitch of yellow. And it's not the best play to let Mukhtar sort of stand there alone on the back post. He shakes. I think that was Dumbia. It might have been Diani. I can double check that, but he sort of gets himself free on the back post and his defender goes in more central. Yeah, Dumbia there. And Kolina could do nothing, but you almost knew, like, right here, like when that pass goes in, you're like, well, they're scoring here. You knew something was going to happen.
Yeah, it was a really nice build up and a really nice goal by one of the best players in MLS. And the nice thing about being at home and conceding a goal in the 32nd minute is that you've got plenty of time to get it right and turn it around. And that's what Charlotte FC did. A salute to the six or seven Nashville fans that were in attendance. Appreciate you coming and enjoy the ride home. Back west into the great state of Tennessee. One more thing happened. Just wanted to give an update on Walker Zimmerman. Obviously, a scary mm-hmm. injury situation. Kicked in the head by Kerwin mm-hmm. Vargas. No foul on the play. No red card. I don't think it was obvious foul play. I think Kerwin was going after the ball. Just Walker mm-hmm. Zimmerman. In an unfortunate situation, he was taken to a local hospital, left the pitch in a neck brace on a stretcher, and the latest news was that he was released from medical care, released from the hospital, and he's back in Nashville. So obviously somebody that's played for the United States national team, mm-hmm. Obviously somebody that everybody knows, somebody that has done had a really nice career in MLS, and I hope he's able to bounce back from this quickly, because that was a scary sight, and you don't see that a lot at soccer matches, Danny, but we saw it on Saturday afternoon at the Fortress.
Yeah, it was scary, and there's a couple shots here. We're not showing the video of him getting kicked in the head, but just while it was happening, they the players were kind of milling around. It was like a bonus drinks break, and they didn't really know, what was going on. It did. I think that break did affect the game, John. I mean, it must be said. I think Dean even commented that, with a long, 10-minute delay in the game for an injury, and they were able to get some extra drinks and it was hot. I mean, that added to, that helped Charlotte, have some time to make some changes and things like that. So, unfortunate for Zimmerman. I'm really glad he's okay. Westwood spoke after and said Kerwin was shaking in the locker room. Kerwin was really broken up about this. He's not trying to hurt anyone out there. He was just going for, an overhead kick, and Zimmerman connected with his foot. Inadvertent, unfortunate, thankfully not nothing too serious. Hopefully Walker's able to play. He may sit out one game. I'm not sure, but we will update when we know, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll follow that story as it develops. Somebody that, like I said, all soccer fans in the U.S. know Walker Zimmerman very, very well, and we wish him nothing but the best. You know, moving on to, I think, the final 10 minutes of the show, which is perfect because on the rundown, you've kind of labeled this as Zaha takes over for the final 10 minutes. So what we're going to do on the show today is Zaha's going to take over for the final 10 minutes here, Danny.
Yeah, let's let him do it.
And let's let him do that. What do we have here? We have him drawing the penalty, right?
Yeah, so first here's the penalty. Another great long ball. And this little chest move, I saw when I saw him take it off the chest like that and then the touch that he made to sort of create for himself, it's just pure class. And we'll see it on a close-up replay as it comes here. Just absolute class. It was instantly, ref pointed the spot instantly. There's nothing, no diciness at all in this penalty call. Andy Nahar, the Honduran, screwed up. And that ball off the chest, and then whoop, that little just one touch to himself. So nice. And then he can just hold up because he knows he's got a defender on his back. And, you know, this is class. This is not something that a lot of MLS players do, which is go win an aerial duel with their chest and touch it down perfectly to their foot to get inside a defender and be moving inside the box in a dangerous fashion there. But that's what Wilf Zaha brings. That's why you go out and get a guy like this who is just a special kind of player who's, you know, just better than most of all other players in the league. And it's really nice to have him in the black and blue there wearing the Charlotte kit.
And that's what you want from a designated player. It's 1-0. It's the 83rd minute. You're down and you've got to find him. You've got to get your DP into the box. You've got to give him a chance to dribble into the box, make something happen. And it looks like, is that Kerwin Vargas that makes that? No, is that Westy?
I think it was Westy. I think it was Westy, yeah.
And a very, very nice ball from Westy. Finds his DP, and that's what you need to do at this point in the match. And the nice thing was, is there, he left the referee no doubt.
Yes.
It was an easy call. There was no drama. And especially with the player falling over him at the end, it was a clear PK. And what did he do, Danny? I love when this happens, right? When you win a PK and you step up yourself to take it.
Yeah, but just this touch, Joe. I mean, we'll show it in a sec, but just this touch, dude. I mean, this is what you used to like. I imagine you used to do a lot of touches like this, where you just do that perfect little bottom of the foot, set yourself up, brilliance.
Yeah, it's when you can use your studs to control the ball. And some great players do that.
And then step maybe, up, make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's sport, you know, 7-on-7 sports link. You know, that's really well, what I was well known for. And there he does. He just slots it in there, right there, makes it easy, makes it happen, has the goalkeeper guess the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And he gives us a little bit of that, are you not entertained
vibe. Yeah, yeah, the Maximus, you know, beautiful, you know. I think we used a shot. Our great friend of the show, Matt Gesslin, took a great photo of that, and that will be the thumbnail for this episode. So there you go. You know,
hell yeah. So Zaha makes it happen, and it's so nice to have a DP like this because, you know, without Wilfried Zaha, this win, I don't think this comeback win is not the story.
No, because he also, I mean, he was like, you know, we talk about the fans, the noise the fans make to inspire the players. But Ashley Westwood, we didn't get too much commentary on it, but Ashley Westwood said Zaha screamed at his teammates at halftime, you know, so Zaha's not afraid to have a go, you know, and have a little constructive criticism, but shouting it to make it happen. And I want to call attention to one other thing, though, that happened. So in between Zaha PK and Toklamati winner, there's one other thing that happened that I think is worth pointing out here, and this is the sort of, you know, the in-depth that you're going to get on Charlotte Soccer Show, which is Wilf almost did it again here in the 87th minute. So watch this, a great long ball forward from Privet, and Wilf goes up, wins the ball off of Nahar, and then like fights in and like creates a shot for Kerwin Vargas. I mean, that's a pretty nice fucking play by Wilf Zaha right there. You know, I'm going to play it again because he just beasts this guy who is an international player in CONCACAF, Andy Nahar, used to be before he retired. And like wins and fights his way and like creates offense out of it. And that shot was kind of a weak shot that was ended up being saved. But like before Toklamati's winner, this would have been our best chance to go get a winner. And it's just a testament to like how great is it to have someone like that who just scored and then is like working his ass off to create shots for teammates again. That, you know, that one didn't pay off, but it's still a nice fucking play, I'm telling you.
Well, and it also shows the flexibility and the kind of depth, if you will, and how this team can play tactically. At the end of the match, it's okay to hit long balls to Wilf Zaha. Like, it's okay. That can be part of your game plan. Doesn't mean you have to do it for all 90 minutes, but when push comes to shove and you need to get a result and you're trying to get 3 points at home, yes, let's lob some long balls to Wilf and see what he can do. I think that's kind of like, in case of emergency, break glass, tactical move for this team. And that's what they did yesterday on Saturday afternoon in that final 10 minutes. They broke the glass and said, hey, Wilf, get it done for us. And he absolutely did. And then Toklamati, with a nice pass from Pep Bial, puts the icing on the cake. So for me specifically, the reason why, I mean, this past week, our last episode, I talked about 12 out of 12, 12 points out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're 3 out of 3.
It was 1-0 pretty late in this match, and I thought to myself, wow, couldn't even get three, couldn't even get one to start 12 out of 12. That's right? What I was sitting, I was sitting there thinking that. I was like, come on, what is happening here? And then the final 10 minutes happened. So, like, is this going to kickstart that winning streak, or is Charlotte FC going to get 12 out of 12 here? Let's just, one game at a time, going to Montreal, could get 3 points there. Like I said, worst team in the East. Another win at home. They've got to go on the road. Were the good folks in the Charlotte FC media asking Ashley Westwood about home versus road?
They did.
After this match?
You teed it up beautifully, Johnny. Here we go. Here's what the captain had to say.
I think teams are fearful coming here. That's what we've created here. That's the biggest difference. We need to go away from home. I think the Miami game was, I thought we performed really well. Just couldn't deal with 10 men. But yeah, we need to... Listen, we're not going to beat ourselves up for it. We're sat second in the league. If we put that right, we've got a right chance of doing something. So I think the intensity and just going there and not worrying about the opposition and playing our own game.
Well, I mean, I like to hear that, but at the same time, you can't ignore who that opposition is either, Johnny. And it is Montreal, the worst team all the way down there at the bottom of this table that we are now showing of the MLS Eastern Conference. Winless on the season, 2 draws, 5 losses, 8 goal differential. They've scored 4 and conceded 12. It's not a good situation. And this is another one of those must wins. Remember how we were talking about San Jose? It was like a must, like you not only must win, but you must beat them badly. And Charlotte FC delivered. This one is one you got to go win by multiple goals on the road to prove you're a contender.
I'd like to win by multiple goals, but I'm good with a 1-0 win. I'm very happy with that, considering the points at this stage are so paramount, because I think one of the last notes that I had to you before we started this show, and I want you to sit on this graphic, because I want people to look at this graphic and I want them to hear me say this. And what I said to you, Danny, was we're in it now for real. Every point matters. It's not just the fan base, I think, that is dreaming of silverware and accomplishing something in 2025. I think the locker room believes that as well. I think the locker room, you could just hear it in Westy's comments right there, Danny. Like he was like, oh, we're second in the league. And Charlotte FC was second in the league at 90 minutes. They knew exactly. He knew exactly where they stood. And he's starting to think, at this point in my career, how great would it be to hoist a trophy? I mean, I think that Westy's starting to dream. He's going to keep things cool for sure, but I'm not. Every point matters, and you know I'm daring to dream right now, Danny, because Charlotte FC is clearly one of the best teams in MLS, and right now they haven't really played like it. They've gotten the result they've needed because the fan base has helped them at home, but if they can go up and win emphatically in Montreal, they come back home to play, I think is it San Diego, then New England?
San Diego, then New England. And San Diego's up at the top of the West. They look great as an expansion side. So they have more points than Charlotte FC right now.
So go win this match at Montreal, come back, and let the fans do it for you again against San Diego. And all of a sudden, you got a chance to really build a nice foundation for the 2025 season. What a show, Danny. What an epic show. And I appreciate you. You cutting all the clips, working on social for us, making this happen on a Sunday morning. Hopefully everybody gets a chance to listen to this or view this throughout the week. That's what we wanted to do for the Tifos, for the fans. Danny, we do this because we like to talk about Charlotte FC for sure, but we figured after a great day like that, let's get this episode done early and get this up on YouTube, on podcast platforms, wherever you consume this content. We appreciate you. Danny and I appreciate you for doing it this morning.
Oh, Johnny, there's nothing else I'd rather do with you as my light starts to dim here. Something's going on with my light. We need to step up. We're making a big push here in 2025 here for the show to really up the YouTube quality. And so I need to get I'm working on a better setup. We can tease that looking ahead. Maybe a higher quality camera, just a little bit better lighting setup. But I appreciate everyone who's watching. I appreciate everyone who's listening. Appreciate the TIFOs who gave shout outs at Hot Fly on Saturday. Met a great guy named Corey who was nice enough to buy me a beer. That's absolutely, it's always welcome. You know, got a beach beer from Corey. Thank you so much, Corey. Met a friend named Daniel who walked by and he goes, "Hey, it's the podcast guys, Johnny and Danny." You know, that was great. And he didn't really want to stay and talk. He just wanted to shout out the podcast guys. So whether you want to come say hi to us and have a conversation about the club or the show, or whether you just want to shout out and keep it moving, we really, really appreciate that. It's nice. It feels nice to get noticed for our love of Charlotte FC and things like that. I do have one more clip. Follow us on all the channels. I have one more clip I want to show you, Johnny. And this is a YouTube short and a reel you can find on our Instagram page. But let's put it in the show also, because Westwood, he did get his first yellow card of the season finally. It finally happened. He was playing a lot nicer this year. But he was asked about that first yellow by Bridget McCall post-show. And he had a little bit of a mea culpa, and this one's for the parents out there.
That's how I am. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I get frustrated with certain things. And yeah, I promised my kids I wouldn't do that, but I have to apologise to them tonight because I've let myself down tonight. And any kids who are watching need to learn how to behave in a better way and don't follow me.
Oh, boy. You can't make it up. You can't make it. Westy is like a character straight out of a Ted Lasso. He really is. Yeah, he absolutely is for this club. I appreciate you bringing that to the end of the show. We'll talk to you this week. You can follow me on social at John Hayes on Air on X. You can follow Danny as well, Instagram, right? Instagram on
Instagram TX, yeah, from my old Texas days, yeah.
Yeah, you can follow Brams on Instagram as well. But follow the show. Keep the conversation happening. Maybe we'll be back this week with a special episode. Maybe we won't. We'll see what happens. We'll have some press availability as well before the team heads up north of the border. Danny, you've been doing an incredible job covering those availabilities, sharing content. So we'll definitely have content for you this week, whether we'll have another show or not, TBD. But as always, Danny, until next time,
for the crown, baby.